I'm pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time to drive to work. Okay, so sadly, last week, Kai Buddha, the greatest magic player of all time, I guess there's, you can argue a few other people, but clearly, no matter what discussion you have, and by the numbers, clearly the best magic player of all time, Kai Buddha sadly last week at 46 died of cancer. And I know there's been a lot of tributes to him, and I really want to do a podcast to him, but I have a slightly different take. I'm a magic historian, and it turns out, so when the Pro Tour first started in 1996, I was very involved with it. I started working at Wizards in 95. Before I come to Wizards, I'd been very involved in running tournaments because I wasn't allowed to play in tournaments because I was writing for the Duelist and doing puzzles, and I had advanced knowledge, so I wasn't allowed to play in tournaments. So I did a lot of stuff behind the scenes and running them. So when I got to Wizards and learned that Skef Elias was starting a Pro Tour, I was really interested in helping him. So I was very involved. And at the events, I sort of I created the feature matches, and I ran the feature matches for the first couple days, and then the final day, I would produce the commentary. In the early days, I did the commentary. Later days, other people would do it, but I would be producing it. And so from 1996 to 2004, when my twins were born and I pulled back how much traveling I was doing, I went to every Pro Tour. Well, you know, with, I think, one exception. I skipped one for when Rachel was born. But for 8 years, I went to all the Pro Tours from 96 to 2004. Well, it turns out that Kai's crazy run, where he wins in a period of 5 years, he wins 7 Pro Tours, happened smack dab when I was in charge of coverage, when I was in charge of feature matches and all that. So I was there, just coincidentally as, so I want to kind of, today, I want to talk about sort of Kai's rise. Like, I want to sort of bring you back and experience the craziness that it was. Now, I mean, real quickly, just Kai had 7 PT wins, 7 Grand Prix wins. He was Player of the Year 4 times. We would later name that award after him. In 2007, in the third year of the Pro Tour, the first year he was eligible, he got inducted. And he won a total of $384,220, played in 16 Pro Tours, and had 571 lifetime Pro points. And all that is impressive. Those numbers are impressive. But hopefully today, I want to tell the story. I want to tell the story of watching it happen. Because it was, oh my, it was just this amazing thing. So our story begins, of all places, in Barcelona in February 6th and 7th of 1999. I was in Barcelona because the Magic Invitational, the third Magic Invitational, which at the time, I think it was still called the Duelist Invitational, but the third Magic Invitational was in Barcelona. First one had been in Hong Kong, second one had been in Rio de Janeiro. We were hopping around continents. In fact, the invitation ended up being in every single continent save Antarctica, which doesn't hold a lot of people. But anyway, I was in Barcelona for the Magic Invitational. But normally when we ran a Magic Invitation, at the same time, they ran a Grand Prix. And so there was a Grand Prix in Barcelona. And that was Kai Buddha's first big win. Kai came in first at Grand Prix Barcelona in 99. And what had happened was he had just come in second at another Pro Tour. This was his first win. And then he would later go on to win 2 other European Grand Prix. So in one season, he came in the top 2 4 times, 3 of which winning them. And that is when I first heard of Kai. I remember him winning in Barcelona, and I remember hearing about there was some dominance that he was doing really well in Europe. So that we next go to Tokyo in 1999, August 4th through 8th. This is the World Championship, the 1999 World Championship. So at this point, we were recording things and we were editing shows and putting them on ESPN2. And so my commentators were Brian Weissman doing play-by-play and Chris Pakula doing color. In fact, Chris flew out. He didn't play in the event. He flew out solely to do commentary on the final day. He was exhausted. So at Tokyo, Kai Buddha, playing a mono red deck, would go on to defeat Mark Lapine in the finals to become the 1999 world champion. Now, the interesting thing at the time was one of the worries at Wizards was that a lot of the world championships had been won by people that didn't go on to do other things. And they were worried at the time that this was another one of those, oh, someone who wins worlds but isn't one of the best players. And I knew of Kai's record in Europe, and I actually defended Kai, and I'm like, guys, this is somebody who will, I remember saying this to them, this is definitely somebody who will top eight future events. This is a really good player. This is not a flash in the pan. This is not someone getting lucky. You know, when we started the Pro Tour, one of the concerns we had, I remember Scaff and I having this conversation, which is, one of our worries was, what if competitive Magic shows that Magic is just too random? What if nobody ever wins more than once? You know, what if it just reinforces that there's not as much skill in the game as we thought? Which is funny as I tell the story, because I think Kai Buda is the poster child for, no, there's a lot of skill in Magic. So anyway, Kai's first win, 99 August, he wins. He's also on the German team, but the German team gets defeated by the American team. So he doesn't win. He will later, we'll get to that, he will later win a team championship, a world team championship, but that doesn't happen yet. Okay, so he wins Worlds. It's, you know, a lot of people have won a Pro Tour or a Worlds. It's an impressive thing to do, but no one really, you know, I mean, just so you understand, Kai had started playing in the juniors. He'd been playing for a couple years before this. So he'd been playing. He hadn't top eighted yet. You know, he'd done well in the Grand Prix, but he hadn't done anything at the Pro Tour. So, you know, his name wasn't sort of the top of the list. One of the things I did as the guy who did the feature matches is I was really well aware of who the players were that were, had done well in different events so that I could feature them. So Kai, at the time of Worlds, Kai was not yet a big name, even though he's starting to build a name for himself in Europe, obviously. So next we get to Pro Tour Chicago, December 1st through the 3rd in December of 2000. So this is about a year later, a year and change later. So this was a standard event. The Worlds that he had won, I believe, it was a standard event as well. So this is another standard event. And Kai goes on to defeat Camille Cornelissen, a very good player, in the event. And so Kai becomes one of a handful of people to win a second Pro Tour. I think at the time, Tomi Hovi was the first, from Finland, was the first to do it. He had originally won in New York, the Pro Tour Riot, Pro Tour, the one in which the finalists, Dave Mills gets eliminated. The judge removed him in the finals for tapping his mana before he cast a spell too many times. And so Tomi wins that one. And then he wins in Rome, in PT Rome. Tomi wins for the second time. And I believe the only other second win that I can remember is a year later, in 2000. So Kai wins the 99 World Championships. At the 2000 World Championships, John Finkel defeats Bob Marr Jr. to win the World Championship. And that is his second Pro Tour win. He had won in New York many years before. So I believe when Kai wins, it's like, oh, he's the third person ever to win two Pro Tours. And that was impressive. I remember I was, you know, talking with Randy Bueller was doing commentary with me. Or he was doing commentary. I was producing. But he and I would chat about stuff. And at the time Kai won, I remember talking about, okay, is he in contention now for greatest player of all time? And Randy's like, no, not yet. And I'm like, well, what would he have to do in your mind to be in contention for the best player of all time? And Kai goes, Randy goes, I think Kai would have to win another Pro Tour. That was Randy's reply. But anyway, he's won two Pro Tours. That's impressive. Not a lot of people have ever done that. So we come to Barcelona in May of 2001. So this is same Pro Tour season, a couple events later. So this is a limited event. So this is not a constructed event. This is limited. And he ends up defeating Alan Comer, who later go on to be in the Hall of Fame. He defeats Alan Comer to win his third Pro Tour. Now at this point, okay, he's the first person to do this. Nobody had ever won three Pro Tours. In fact, other than I think Finkel. Not a lot of people have won three Pro Tours. That's the, by the way, the craziness of Kai's accomplishments is not only has he won seven Pro Tours, there's no one even close to him. Like I said, I think John won three Pro Tours. And maybe, Dirk Babrowski technically won three. We'll get to the team wins in a second. Two of them are team wins with Kai. But other than that, maybe there's one I'm missing. But there's a bunch of people that won two. There's a few that even won two, like, consecutively, something Kai did. But there's not, like, Kai's records are so beyond what anybody else came close to doing. That's the interesting thing. Okay, so now he's won his third Pro Tour, and everybody's sitting up, like, okay. Like, you got to take Kai seriously. And the other interesting thing is, Kai not only has won three Pro Tours, but he's only been in the top eight three times. Meaning he gets to the top eight and he wins. And there starts getting this quote of not wanting to meet Kai on Sunday. Because Kai doesn't lose on Sunday. And we're starting to see kind of the build of the legend of Kai. That, you know, three Pro Tours is pretty impressive. So the next event is in New York in September of 2001. So remember, by the way, I should point out. So his first three wins, one is in 1999 at Worlds, one is in 2000 Chicago, the third one's 2001 in Barcelona. Kai has now won three Pro Tours in three consecutive years. So not is he only the first person ever to win three Pro Tours, but he won them three consecutive years. This is not like this long drawn-out period. It's a very short period of time. So then we get to New York. New York was a team limited event. And Kai was part of a team called Phoenix Foundation. I think that's named after, it's a group in, is it Knight Rider? It's named after a pop culture thing. I think it's Knight Rider. But anyway, so the team is himself, Dirk Babrowski, Dirk had won one of the Chicago's earlier, Dirk had won a Pro Tour. And Marco Bloom. Marco Bloom was on the German team with Kai when they came in second, lost to the Americans in 99. And Marco, who is a very, very good player, sadly, one of his most famous, playing in that event, he was playing the same deck that Kai was playing that he won with, which was a mono red deck. It had Covetous Dragon in it. And Covetous Dragon, you have to sacrifice it if you don't have any artifacts in play. But the deck spits out so many artifacts, you never have to worry about that. But Marco is playing something where somehow he got the Covetous Dragon out and he didn't have any artifacts and it died. And sadly, it's one of the things where people remember that. But Marco was actually a really, really strong player. And so that team was very strong. In fact, in the semis of PT New York, they defeat Car Acrobatic Squad, which was the last professional tournament of Aaron Forsythe. Aaron Forsythe, that was his team, Car Acrobatic team. And one of the last things he did, or his last ever, his team takes on Kai's team. And that was his last professional match, was against Kai's team. So now this is Kai's fourth win. So now he has three individual wins and a team win. And so he's now done something once again. I mean, no one had won three. Now he's won four. And it's just like, what can't Kai do? He wins constructed tournaments. He wins limited tournaments. Oh, real quickly, I should just explain this. So back in the day, the way the Pro Tours used to work early on was the whole Pro Tour was a single format. I think the World Championships worked a little differently at the time. But if you were going to a Pro Tour event that wasn't a World Championship, you just played. If it was limited, you played limited the whole time. If it was constructed, you played the constructed format the whole time. So Kai is winning constructed formats, limited formats, team formats. He's just winning everything. And really, once again, so the reputation is just growing, right? Kai is... So the name for Kai, his nickname at the time, was the German Juggernaut. And the reason was, there's a card in Magic, in Alpha, called Juggernaut. And Juggernaut can't be blocked except by walls. And the idea was, you just can't stop Kai. He is the German Juggernaut. He was from Hamburg, Germany. And, nobody wanted to face Kai. So one of the things that happens over time is at any one moment in time, there's always sort of the dominant player, the player that everybody thinks of as being the best player in Magic. And one of the ways that I always could tell who players thought it was I often would do interviews before the Pro Tour began, and I would say to people, who do you want to play in this Pro Tour? And whoever the most people named, that was what people considered to be the best player usually, because everybody wanted to play the best, right? So like at the very first Pro Tour, everyone's saying they want to play Mark Justice. He was sort of the first kind of big, you know, best at Magic. He had top four, two world championships, and he then would top eight the very first Pro Tour. And then at some point, like, it becomes John Finkel, and there's a few other people over time. But we're getting to the realm where I ask people who you want to play. It's like, I want to play Kai Buda. You know, that is the true sense of being on the Pro Tour, is going up against Kai. Now, the other thing to remember at the time, so the way that you got invited to events was, there was a bunch of different metrics. You could win qualifiers to get in, or one of the ways you can get in is if you have enough pro points. As you play in pro events, you earn points. Like I said, Kai's total was 571. You earn enough points that you then qualify. And the way that the points worked is we basically let a certain number of people in. So the threshold would change based on sort of the circumstances. And during Kai's run, Kai was winning so many different events that he himself lowered the entry by a significant number of points, like double-digit points. Like, he was winning so many things that it was just lowering what it takes to qualify. Okay, so New York is September of 2001. A month later, in Cape Town, is the Magic Invitational. So the Magic Invitational in Cape Town, I think, was the sixth one. So there was... it was Hong Kong, then Rio, then Barcelona, then Kuala Lumpur, then Sydney. Yeah, so this was 6-1 in Cape Town. It's not the first one Kai played in, for sure. But this is the one that Kai Buda wins. Kai has won everything. So far in 2001, like, 99, he wins the Pro Tour. 2000, he wins the Pro Tour. In 2001, he's now won two Pro Tours. He goes to the Invitational, and he wins the Invitational. And we end up making the card Void Mage Prodigy, which I will, real quickly, when Kai made the card, normally we try to make the Invitational card as good as we could. The problem was, it was coming out, I think, during Onslaught, and we were doing, there was a strong typo theme, and his had been a wizard because it showed him on it. And the problem was that because white-blue was really good, we kind of nerfed wizards. We didn't nerf his card in particular, but because we had nerfed wizards, that it just didn't really show up. Most of the other pro cards had shown up at Pro Tours. And maybe Kai's later would show up. I don't remember exactly. But and then also, we ended up redoing the art for Kai's card. But anyway, so Kai wins the Magic Invitational. There's not a lot of people. There's only 11 Magic Invitationals. So... okay, so he wins the Magic Invitational. So he's won two Pro Tours in the Magic Invitational in 2001, but he's not done yet. So he next goes to New Orleans. The format's extended. So Kai has won Standard. Kai has won Limited, Team Limited. But I don't think he's won in a Constructed event that wasn't Standard yet. The two Constructed ones he won, I believe, were both Standard. So he ends up winning, of course. This is his sixth win. He beats Alan Comer. So he beats... this is sixth win or fifth win? Fifth win. This is fifth win. So once again, nobody had ever... like, once again, every Kai won. And this one is, like... just imagine a year. And nobody had ever won three Pro Tours ever at the time, other than Kai. And now he wins three Pro Tours in the same calendar year. And the Invitational, just for extra goodwill. And in New Orleans, he beats Tommy Wallamy. It's November 2001, 9th through 11th of 2001. And in New York, the team event, they end up beating Les Plus Class. It's a French team. Emile Tenenbaum, Gabriel Nassif, and Nicolai Olivieri. So, which is a very good team. I mean, Gabriel Nassif is one of the best Magic players of all time. And so now he has won five Pro Tours, three of which in the same calendar year. So this is where we start getting, like, the true height of Kai. Kai is now... I mean, and once again, he's 5 for 5. He has won every single top 8 he's been in. So then we get to 2002 in Nice. This is a limited event. May 3rd through the 5th in 2002. Kai makes top 8 and, shocker, does not win the event. He comes in 5th. And that was the talk. I mean, you know, the idea that Kai made the finals and doesn't win the finals. And once again, you know, it's just another top 8. I mean, Kai, like I said, would end up making, how many top 8s? 12 Pro Tour top 8s. I think only Finkel hasn't beat. I think Finkel is 16. That's amazing. And it's amazing you make a top 8 and people like, well, the expectation is every time you make top 8, you'll win. Okay, so the next event is in Boston. It's another team limited event, September 27th to 29th of 2002. Oh, but wait a second. Before we get to that, in 2002, in August of 2002, so after he comes in 5th at Nice, later that summer, Kai goes to do something he hadn't done yet. He, as a member of the German team, he didn't win Germany, so he wasn't the German national champion, but he was on the team. And for the first time, he wins the team, the World Team Championship. So at this point, Kai has won an individual world championship, a team world championship, a Pro Tour individual, and an invitational. And the only other person to ever do that is John Finkel. So, and on top of that, he also won a team event, which I don't think John ever won a team Pro Tour event. He won a team World Championship event. Okay, that anyway, just as a side note, as we're running through his crazy run, he also becomes a world national champion. Okay, so in Boston, September 27th, 29th, 2002, is the next team limited Pro Tour. Phoenix Foundation is back again, and they win again. They win, I believe it was back-to-back, I mean, you know, team back-to-back. So they played a team called 2020. They were Canadian. Steve Wolfman, David Rude, and Elijah Pollock. And so that is Kai's 6th win. Also, Kai enables Dirk Babarowski to now be this, I think, the second person to win 3 Pro Tours, because now Dirk Babarowski has won the 2 team events with Kai and his own individual event. So, like, the person who has won 3 Pro Tours now would not have done it without the help of Kai, because Kai, he was on Kai's team. And so that is his 6th win. So his 7th win, so now we come to 2003, January 17th and 19th, 2003. It's in Chicago. It's a limited event. And so he's playing Nikolai Herzog in the finals, who also very, very good player in the Hall of Fame. And that is his final win. Now, it also, it's the first time I think somebody wins twice in the same city, because he had won a previous Chicago. So for the first time ever, he won twice in the same city. And it was, I mean, the thing that is interesting to me is it's hard to describe as, you know, like when you're in the middle of something, like one of the things that happens in sports is you have somebody like Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods or somebody that is so dominant in their sport, that wins so many things, that is so clearly the GOAT, the greatest of all time, that everyone's just like, you know, there's not, how can anybody ever, you know, measure up? And the idea of just having that run with Kai where just, you know, like, it just became almost like mythology. It was really exciting. It was really, and that's what part of what I want to sort of describe today is, like, Kai wasn't always Kai Muda, you know. He just started as a normal player. He's in the juniors and slowly worked his way up. So the one thing about Kai, let me talk a little bit about Kai, having interacted with Kai a lot. One of the things that made Kai such a good player was he treated the game very seriously. He always put in the work. That if he was going to play an event, he wanted to understand that format, whatever it is he was playing, the best that he could, and he would play endlessly. Kai really wanted to understand the nature of everything that was going on. And Kai wanted to play very, very clean. I mean, he wanted to always be making the right play. And there's a lot of stories. Carmen, who works in R&D, talks about how, like, she had a Pro Tour match she plays against Kai, and she has the matchup. Like, it's in her favor. Like, her deck was made to beat the deck that Kai is playing. Doesn't matter. Kai wins nonetheless. And I have a lot of stories of people talking about playing Kai, and like, I played Kai, and he beat me. And it was a great honor to be beaten by Kai Buddha. Kai was just very methodical, you know, very... And also, the other thing about Kai, I guess, is he was really... he was very gentle. He was a very kind person. He truly loved Magic. And, you know, he would do whatever he could. If somebody made a top eight that he knew, he would always, like, say, I'll practice the night before. We'll run through things, you know. He always was trying to help new players. And, I mean, over and above, I'm obviously talking about just his complete and utter dominance in playing. And that's true. And the phenomenon that was Kai is even hard to wrap your brain around. But he was just such a good guy. I mean, that's something else that I know other people have been talking about. He was a very gentle soul. He cared very much. He cared about people, you know. And that, you know, Kai was an amazing, amazing player. But he was an amazing person. I do think that's important to convey. That I always liked interacting with Kai. You know, there are a lot of pro players. Like, one of my jobs, when I was on the Pro Tour, when I was the 8 years I was working the Pro Tour, my major job was basically interacting with the pro players and doing a lot of sort of promoting the story of the Pro Tour, which involved promoting the players. That really, the trick about promoting Magic, Pro Tour Magic, is promoting the best players. So I got to know the players really well. I had a lot of interaction with them. And a lot of players were very nice. It's not as Kai was the only nice player, but there was a fair of people that were less nice, I will say, to put it kindly. But, you know, I got to see Kai play a lot. He was in the feature match. He probably was the most featured player I ever, you know, during my run of doing feature matches from 96 to 2004. That was in the heart, you know, whenever Kai Buddha was playing anybody of note, he was in the feature match. In fact, there's a real famous feature match. In the very first Chicago that he won, he played John Finkel in the quarters of the semis. I think the semis. And I remember, so my job as the producer was, I would go to the director and I would map out and say, here's the matches that are going on. We're going to start at this match. And once they finish the game, probably we'll jump to this match. And normally my procedure was I wanted to show a little bit of all the games. I wanted the audience to get a sampling of all the stuff that was happening. And I remember when Kai was playing John, I went to the director. I go, here's what is going to happen. We are going to start on Kai Buddha playing John Finkel. And we are not going to move the camera until the match between Kai Buddha and John Finkel is done. We are going to watch the entirety of that match. Because I think it's the only time that Kai and John had met in the top eight. They played each other, I think. Maybe it happened one of the time that I'm forgetting, or maybe after my reign. Although, as far to the best of my memory. But anyway, Kai, I can't really say enough nice things about Kai. It is sad to me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, 46 is pretty young. And so it is a true... So one of the things that happens, we found out that Kai was sick. And so one of the things we did that I'm really happy we did is we renamed the Player of the Year Award. Before it was just Player of the Year Award. And now it's the Kai Buddha Player of the Year Award. And the thing we were able to do was we were able to invite Kai. Well, Kai was able to attend. And by the way, Kai, not only did Kai attend, he top eighted. I believe he top eighted the event that I'm talking about. Or if not, he top eighted one of while he came sick, while he was coming and still sick and playing in Pro Tours, he top eighted one of them. It might have been the very one I'm talking about. But we had a great ceremony where Billy Jensen, who's in charge of organized play, was sort of giving a little speech honoring Kai and talking about how we were giving him this award. And then Kai spoke. And you can see that all this was taped. It's online. I'm so happy that we were able to sort of let Kai, acknowledge Kai while Kai could be there and experience it. Kai has brought a lot to so many people. sometimes it's hard to realize all the people you impact and the people you touch. There are so many people, you know, that, like, one of the things I know when Scaffers was trying to put together the Pro Tour, that he really wanted to have inspirational players. That one of the things that he, Scott Kai had read is, that one of the people that makes people want to play basketball is knowing that people like Michael Jordan exist. Or, I mean, that's a dated reference, but pick your favorite best basketball player in the moment. And the idea that there's something about wanting to sort of have someone to look up to and achieve to be them. And even though you're probably never going to be as good as them, the idea that there exists a person that could be that good, that could be that dominant, drives people. And there's so many people that I know that Kai inspired. And I'm not even talking directly. The number of people that Kai helped, that he directly helped, like, you know, the matches he played with them, or the things where he walked through, or just the wisdom he granted. I'm not even counting the face-to-face. I just mean people that sort of, the legacy of Kai meant something. And so, I mean, it is, I kind of knew when Kai died, I'm like, oh, I have to make a podcast. Like, the fact that I was kind of, I had front row seats to the most dominant things ever happened in Pro Tour Magic. And I really hadn't shared the story. I shared pieces of it. But I hadn't really shared the whole run. And it is something that, you know, I'm kind of really proud that I got to experience that. I don't think that will ever happen in Pro Magic again. And not because there aren't really good players, but Kai is a once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon, you know. And like I said, 7 Pro Tour wins. The number 2 is 3 Pro Tour wins. Somebody to even tie Kai has to win 4 more, and that's John, who's already won 3. You know, so I really wanted to do this podcast to sort of make a nod and understand that Kai influenced so many things, had such a long reach, and was truly, honestly, a really sweet and great person. I just wanted to make a nod. I wanted to do this podcast in a nod to Kai, and so. There's a bunch of articles and a bunch of videos about Kai. I strongly urge, if you haven't seen them, Wizards made one that sort of walks through all his accomplishments and stuff, and it shows a lot of pictures. Other people have also done tributes, so if you've not had a chance to see any of this, if this is the first time you've ever heard of Kai Booty, which I'm hoping it's not, there's a lot of stuff out there if you want to sort of see retrospectives and things. And there's actual coverage. We filmed a bunch of coverage, which is online. If you actually want to see Kai play, I believe some of that footage is still there. So it's interesting. I did a talk at Magic 30, which was kind of the first Magic Con, although it wasn't called Magic Con. And in it, I did a talk that was called, 30 years, 30 pictures, because it was the 30th anniversary of Magic. So I picked 30 pictures that I had been in, just showing the history of Magic and then talking through the story of the picture. And one of the pictures was me working the feature match area. And it just so happens that the person seated there, I mean, not an accident, was Kai. And there's this really nice picture of me, like, changing out the signs as Kai's, like, shuffling, getting ready for his match. Somehow that's a picture I thought of when I heard Kai die, of just sort of thinking back and just the luminous feature matches of just watching, like, getting to, like, there's a lot of honors in my life, a lot of great things that have happened to me that I'm very, you know, I feel blessed for. And one of them is that I got a front row seat to watch the best Magic player that ever played Magic to play Magic for years, right in front of me. I got to judge him, and not that he ever asked rules questions or anything, but I just got to have a front row seat of that. I got a front row seat to Magic history, and that's why, one of the reasons on this podcast, I wanted to share with you that front row seat, because I've been privy to a lot of things that, you know, most of you have not, and one of them was getting a chance to see the brilliance that was Kai Buddha. And so I just want to say, sort of a top of the hat, I'm so happy that Kai was part of this game, and the game was part of Kai's life. I know Magic meant a lot to Kai, and in his speech that he gave when we renamed the Player of the Year Award, Kai gave this really nice speech and talking about how much Magic had meant to him. And Anyway, sorry, getting emotional. I guess it's the rule when I talk about Tony's diet that I have to cry on my podcast. But anyway, I'm here at work. So there's so much awesome things out there about Kai that you can experience firsthand. If you haven't had a chance to do that, there's so much wonderful things about him. I would urge you to sort of see some of that stuff and learn about who Kai was as a person. And I hope this podcast has done something to give you some insight and a little bit about Kai and, like I said, the most dominant run of magic that I think we will ever see. So anyway, guys, I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.